You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. If you are looking for a mentor this year that will really help facilitate the next level of potency in your leadership and in your erotic alchemy process, which just means learning how to amplify, transmute, and shift energies that sometimes can feel stagnant or heavy or challenging or contracting, and you want to turn them essentially into erotic electrifying turn on, and you want to play right at that edge that I like to call the erotic edge, then I highly recommend checking out my new program. It's a mentorship for my one-on-one clients that is all about us learning to become masters of Eros, learning how to work with the seasons of death and winter and loss and turn them into something, you know, from something that depletes us into something that fuels us. And so I highly, highly recommend checking out the page. It's nadiamunla.com/erotic edge. We've got a couple of different options for you. We have the way that I love to work is a 6-month container always. It's tried, tested, and true. I've been doing it for 9 years. And then there's also a 3-month container. If you are someone who likes to take everything and compact it a little bit more, if you're really working on going into an in-depth immersion over a smaller amount of time, if you don't have the space to go to sort of pull it out and do it over 6 months, then, you know, this 3-month package could be an option for you as well. In both cases, you get Voxer support from me. In both cases, you get the option to do a 2-day in-person erotic movement immersion with me, which also can be done online virtually on Zoom if you're someone who cannot travel, but you really want to do this. So there are so many options, but this is a combination of sort of traditional life coaching calls combined with an in-person immersion combined with in-between call support. So really it's the full, what do they call it? The full enchilada, ladies. So reach out, take a look at the site. And if you have any questions, you know where to find me. There's a direct link to apply there. That's always the best way to get on an exploration call with me where we really get a sense of whether it's a fit or not. Because in this particular program, I only take a handful of people a year. So I always love to hop on the phone and make sure that this is going to be a situation that's like win-win-win, where there's going to be magic and fireworks, and it's going to be the best decision for you. All right. So I hope to talk to you soon. Hello. Today, oh my gosh, today we're going to talk about the crisis of commitment. And I know for a lot of you, your first thoughts are probably like, oh, she's talking about commitment in love relationships. And yes, that is a good chunk of what I'll be talking about. But really, I'm seeing the crisis of commitment as something that is actually much bigger when we zoom out. It's about our like inability to devote ourselves to a cause, to an object, to projects we're still able to do, it seems, because they're small enough. But there's a lot, and of course, a person, right? Like we're just not having the same level of devotion that we, I would say, have had in the past. Like when I think about the most basic thing, like my grandma's kitchen probably had a whole bunch of, you know, like a cuisinart. I don't know if they had that back in the day, but, you know, like a food processor and maybe a coffee machine and a, I don't know what, like the toaster or something that was probably there for like most of her life. And I think about me and I'm like, wow, I probably have gotten a new coffee machine. And I, you know, I have these like just the basic filter, like mini, like it's like for one person. It makes one cup of coffee. So those machines cost like $20 or something. But I've probably had like, think about in my adult life, I've probably owned like 10 of those. And I get that it's a little bit different. I was nomadic. I had to get rid of them most of the time because they don't fit. They don't make the cut into a suitcase if I'm getting on a flight. And I get that also things these days are just like not made well. And there's this ethos and this culture that we have that's like the microwave, fast food, fast fashion, disposable, swipe left culture that I think is really indoctrinating us into an attitude where we're not honoring the potency of devotion as much as we used to. So I want to talk a little bit about that because I think that's a bit sad for all of us because the value of devotion, the potency of devotion, and the liberation that can come from devotion is really quite magical. And we've gotten a little bit sidetracked with the sparkly, shiny, fast food version of things. So I see it even in people's like purpose. People will come in and start a business and within a few years are like, oh, I don't know, I don't think this is working, you know, like I think I should shift gears. Or, oh, this program didn't work, I guess I won't try to run it again. And you know, in some cases, of course, that's totally legit. If you're just like, it doesn't feel right, or I just really feel the marketplace doesn't want this and there's something else that they want more that I'm willing to give, cool. And I think that overall, when we zoom out, there's a little bit of we're jumping the gun is basically what I'm saying. We're sort of like, okay, we have lost the patience and the devotion to try and try again. And of course, the place where I am seeing this most is in the world of intimacy and romantic relationships because of the online dating apps and the way that they're set up. And it's like, there's always something better out there. It's like, you're at the casino and it's like, oh shit, I lost this money. Well, let me just try again. Let me try again. And there is this, you know, and if you listen to any single app developer, and I think it just started, I think it was Tinder. I'm not really sure actually, but you know, whoever started this whole dating app trend, like they all use the same psychological tactics of like video games where you're like, I want more. It's not enough. I want to keep going. Right. And there's all these ways that, if you listen to, I mean, there's so many interviews out there about that, documentaries about how the dating apps are designed to keep us hungry and to keep us wanting more. And it's very similar to slot machines in Vegas. And, my plea to all of us is, we are smarter than this. It's okay if we went there for a little while as a collective. It's okay that I bought a whole bunch of coffee machines when really I would prefer to have had the same one and really made sure I cleaned it all the time and like soaked it in vinegar and did the things my grandma used to do to keep something alive for 20 years. Granted, hers was manufactured better. So we'll give ourselves that. We're working with a lot less substance, at least when it comes to items. But when it comes to people, it's not true. We're beautiful, deep, nuanced humans. Even those who present as superficial or who maybe aren't so in touch with the depths of their being, you know, for a variety of reasons, pain or social media or whatever may be. But like humans are humans. We're not fast manufacturing humans yet AI is getting there, but I'm not, that's for a whole nother podcast, y'all. That is another podcast. And let me tell you, I got things to say about that. Okay. Let me not let my mind run off on a tangent about AI. Let's hone it in, Nadia. So here's the deal. The crisis of commitment is rampant, and I am concerned that it is leading us astray from what actually is super fulfilling. And we are being, through capitalism, through the systems out there, right? Like, we are constantly being marketed and sold something shinier, something better, something more sparkly out there. You have the iPhone 12, why don't you have the iPhone 14? I didn't even know there was an, I think it's an iPhone 14 now, I don't know. Like, it is insane. Every time I buy an iPhone, there's another iPhone out. It's like, that's better, and this is sparklier, and this is, oh, you have, you know, this contraption at home, you actually need this contraption. And so it's this constant, like, you can up-level, you can up-level, you can, you know, get something even better. And so what happens is that saturates into our cells, it saturates into our being. And then suddenly our attitude, our perspective is, oh, this human, got some flaws, I can do better. And as much as I love all the manifesting tactics and the workshops out there about, you know, dreaming up your ideal partner, people are, when you combine that with getting marketed new shiny things, everyone is continuously dissatisfied. No one is ever fulfilled. And so I look around and you either have people in unhappy relationships, people who are divorced or separated, people who are single, people who are like, what the fuck, where is everyone? There's no one out there. That's literally the crisis I see everywhere. And it could not have been modeled better than recently, I'd say 6 months ago, I was watching this show. I think it's called The Perfect Match. It's a reality dating show. I love my reality dating shows. Shout out to my friend Madeline Moon. Her and I used to, when we lived closer to each other, we would binge some of those and do commentary on it, because it is really fascinating for any coach who does, you know, love, intimacy, relationship coaching, polarity work. Like, it's fascinating for us to essentially be a fly on the wall for the people out there who are looking for love, or who say they're looking for love. And I think they do, they truly are looking for love, because we all are inclined to look for love. We all want companionship. We all want erotic hot sex. We all want to feel seen and heard. We all, well, not everyone likes physical touch, but generally speaking, or if we're connected to our animal bodies, we like to co-regulate. So it feels really good to be in physical intimacy with someone, just bodies, even in a non-romantic setting, right? Just friends hugging and shit. So we are all wired to a certain extent to be connected. And I'm watching the show, The Perfect Match, and I was in awe the entire season, because the premise, and I'm going to try to break this down for you in a way that isn't going to have your eyes glaze over. Essentially, they put a bunch of, you know, women and men in like a house, like a property where they can't really leave. And they're just, I don't know, they're just socializing and getting to know each other. And every single day, at the end of the day, they have to pick a match. And that match, then they go and they basically share a bedroom. Whether they do anything in that bedroom is up to them. But the interesting thing, like, at first I was like, I don't get the premise of the show. Like, what's the point? So people would match up at the very beginning. And the idea is, like, you know, the ultimate goal is find your perfect match. And so if you can continue to stay connected to the same person and deepen and deepen, you're essentially becoming more and more of a perfect match. And then, you know, the other people vote for, like, who's the perfect match. Well, what was interesting is that the entire show, and then people would come and go, like, they would like throw in a few new people, a few people would get eliminated. Like, there was constant turn turnaround or turnover or whatever in the house, which kept people on their toes in that they might be like, oh, I found my match, right? Like, I really like this person. I've been like talking to them all day. We went on a date, da, da, da. And like, I choose her or I choose him tonight, and they sleep, you know, they sleep in the same bed and da, da, da. And so you would think that people would be inclined to deepen, but in most cases, I just watched how there was always like, maybe the other person is better. That was like the constant energy. But by the way, men and women, huh? I think that we have this little bit of this thing going on with the ladies. Love you guys. Love my sisters. And it's like, you know, we're really like meh, meh, bitching about the guys. It's like, oh no, the women in that show were like, oh, can get better. Oh, maybe that other guy's better for me. And so there's this constant, and I really started to see the ethos of the dating apps and the swiping left and the like ghosting people and the lack of any sort of loyalty or even concern or like just commitment to like, let me deepen with this one person. No, it was like the moment there was something shinier, they would hop over to the next person. So most of the show, literally every single day, people would choose new people. It was just one couple that from the very first day they chose each other, and they made it all the way till the end, which, bless their hearts. I don't know how they did it, but they also were like a little more old school, and I appreciated that in them. So I say all of this because I think that a reality dating show is a little microcosm of the collective and what's going on. And when all you see on this dating show is them picking other people, it's like you really start to see, wow, how like from one day to the next, people are like, eh, I don't know, let's go on. And like, I get that you want to shop around a little bit, right? Like, we're all shopping around a little bit. You don't want to pick the first thing. But at the same time, I'm looking back at things like arranged marriage, which I'm not necessarily saying is going to fix our problems here. And of course, it has a lot of downsides to that too. But there's something really interesting about when you look at the couples and you talk to the couples who were in arranged marriage and they're 40 years into a marriage and they're like best friends now and they love each other and they have inside jokes and they're doing great and they're stronger than ever. It's like, in a way, sometimes when our choices are taken away from us, devotion appears. And I'm not suggesting all our choices have to be taken away, because there is something, I mean, we fought so hard to have more choices, in particular women, but there's something that happens when we have too many choices that leaves us unfulfilled. And I really believe it's because we have no place to put our devotion. So I wrote this, it was like a poem, which then became like a scene. I wrote this probably in like high school, maybe, I want to say, maybe early 20s. And it was the scene of this woman who's like decked out in a full suit, and she like runs out into this meadow, this beautiful green lush meadow, and starts to take off all her clothes, like one peeling off layers and layers. And it was this she's going through this like journey, this emotional journey of ripping off like the corporate suit and becoming, you know, rewilding herself. And then she's there and she's like naked and she's like, woo, you know, like women's liberation, all that shit. And then, and by the way, this is like, she's not saying any of these things. It's just the energy of it. And then she's all fully naked and she just looks around. And she doesn't know what to do with herself. And then she picks up these handcuffs and puts them on herself and like sits back down. And I remember this channeled out of me and I was like, huh, what does this even really mean? Like, it feels so true. But what is the scene about? And the more I sat with it, and over the years, I started to realize like that woman was a feminist, you know, like a liberated woman. And she went through the phases of liberation first, you know, oh, I get to be like a man. Yay. Woo. And then also, oh, now I get to be like, you know, a rewilded feminine woman. And then ultimately being like, oh my God, I have too many choices. And there's something about like the weight of the handcuffs and her like being bound to something that actually allows her to exhale. And that's where she finally finds like, ah, okay. And I think that we're a little bit in this place collectively, guys, where we want to be bound again. Not like we were before, where it was like government told us exactly what to do, religion told us what to do, our husbands told us what to do. No, 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 no. I mean, gosh, it wasn't even that long ago that we had to have a signature from our husband to open a bank account. So all of these evolutions, I am so grateful for. All of this agency that we have that a lot of women in other parts of the world still don't have, I am so fucking grateful for. And the shadow side is there are too many options. And so for the men and the women, we are in this place where we are walking around, shaking our heads, going, I'm not fulfilled. I don't feel happy. In the US, there's more depression and like, you know, mental health issues than so many other places in the world. And yet, if you look around, it's like there's so many options, like you know, whatever video games you want, you can have a million shows. There's so much available at your fingertips. And yet, we're not happy. We're not fulfilled, or we have maybe bouts, you know, like little spurts of happiness, but overall there's a dissatisfaction in the air. And I believe it's the crisis of commitment. I believe that devotion brings a lot of peace. When we just say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do this every day, whether it's a morning routine, whether it's like I devote myself to this human with all of their flaws, but I'm going to work really hard to make this work, knowing, of course, you have the option for divorce, you have the option for separation. If it really ultimately is making you miserable more often than it is delighting you, of course, get the fuck out. I'm not saying you have to. You know, it's not like it used to be before where you're now stuck. But now the opposite is happening. We have like just swung the pendulum all the way to the other side from like, oh, well, I'm stuck in this marriage that I can't get out of. And now I drink vodka at 11 a.m. and just, you know, vacuum the house and fantasize about the pool boy. It's like, well, it's like now we're on the other end of the spectrum. And the pendulum has swung to, I'll do whatever the fuck I want. And, oh, this guy's just, I don't know, he doesn't really make enough money. Or, oh, this guy, he's just, I don't know, he just hasn't been to enough conscious polarity workshops. So I'm a no, you know, or whatever. And then we just dismiss. And it's and the same thing. I mean, I'm talking to the women primarily just because I know that tends to be more of my audience and my community. But, like, I 100% get that the men are equally, if not slightly more, in this boat as well, because the thing is that the masculine in all of us, and with, so this is becoming more rampant in women because we're in an age of masculinity, and masculine energy just being on like crack in all of us, essentially, like we're all overly masculine. And so the masculine energy, right, is always wanting freedom. And so with freedom, it means like, oh, take me away from the burden of this person's flaws, or, oh, I can't deal with this commitment. It feels like it's suffocating me, or, oh, devotion is just, and it's like, oh my God, but can we find the freedom in devotion? Can we find the exhale in devotion? I just, you know, I got back from Bali not that long ago, and I just, every time I go, I'm in awe of the beautiful, beautiful people of Bali. Like, holy shit. They are such teachers for me every time, as they are for a lot of us. That's why everyone's so magnetized to that part of the world, not just because the nature is phenomenal, but the Hindu culture, and in particular, the Hindu culture in Bali there's something about the simplicity, the way that these people wake up in the morning and they do the same thing every day. They're sweeping the sidewalks, they're putting their offerings to the gods, they're lighting the incense, they're doing their daily prayer and meditation. They have it dialed. They have devotion dialed. And the gratitude and the happiness is in the air. I have never in my life walked around in a place and felt so much like my brain, like the consciousness in me was just like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like I was just walking around in gratitude all the fucking time. And I really believe because it's in the air. They are so grateful. They're so devotional. And they just keep that shit simple. And so though I'm not suggesting arranged marriage, I'm not saying let's move the pendulum back to arranged marriage, but there's a simplicity about going, here's the person you're going to marry. Deal with it. And then you deal with it. And dealing with it, you know, unless you get someone who's, you know, cheating all the time or abusing all the time or like, you know, in those horrible situations, which is of course why I'm not 100% saying, hey, let's do arranged marriage. But if you're working with like a good human who's trying their best, when you both are like, all right, I guess this is what we're doing now, you do it. You really do it. And then you find the beauty in doing it. And you find the beauty and potency that comes with committing and saying, I'm in this. We're like doing the ride or die thing. We're all the way in. And I just don't think people are doing that anymore in relationships. It's so, so, so rare that I find that. I know my deepest ache and yearning personally has been to find someone who's willing to be in and at the level of devotion that I want in romantic relationship, where it's like ride or fucking die. And in an interesting way, I have found that with Chris because he is my ride or die and I know I'm his. But it's interesting because it's not showing up like in life, it's like as a life partner. And so I'm still having this deep desire for a life partner who will do that, right? And who's committing to the day to day with me in a ride or die fashion. And I think we're all wanting that. And then we go, well, I also want my freedom and I also want all the options and I also want every flavor in the buffet. And I also, it's like, okay, well, this whole ethos also has gotten us in trouble of you can have it all. You can have it all. You can have it all. You can have the man who has everything. No. You can have it all. You can, you know, be the CEO, the female CEO of a Fortune 500 company and also have four kids and be at every single soccer practice and also do sexy self-care and also do have an amazing web of sisters and also sleep 8 hours a night. No, you can't. No, you can't. You can have seasons where you prioritize things. You can have all the things at different times. And actually, you know, I heard this recently. I was watching an interview between Oprah and Michelle Obama, some of which I loved, some of which I was a hard no to. And gosh, I mean, I used to love these women so much and still do in certain ways, but then there's just some stuff that is not vibing with me anymore. Anyways, little tangent there, but I was listening to them and they are elders, right? They are older women who have been through some shit and who have seen the world. And they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all a fucking myth. You can't have everything. And we got sold this idea that we can have everything. And so everyone's walking around being like, I'm waiting for that person who has everything. And I'm like, yeah, good luck. Good luck. and all the like manifesting cultures also like you can have it all, and the, you know, personal development world that's like you can make millions and also still be awesome and do all the things. And it's like, show me one person who has it all and I'll shut the fuck up. Email me, Nadia@nadiamilla.com. I want to know who has it all, because everyone I know is excelling in certain areas and struggling in certain areas. And that's just the human condition, and that's cool. So for us to then go, oh, well, I'm just going to wait until my perfect partner comes. I'm like, all right, well, I'll see you when you're 80, still waiting. And yet we all want love at the same time. So we want this perfect partner, but then we also want love. It's like, well, okay, well, if you want love, work with what you got. Cultivate love within the imperfection, within the flaws. Don't settle for if the flaws are so bad that they don't match you so much that you fucking hate your life. No. But choose. Choose someone who has the most important things. Choose someone who's choosing you. And when you're both choosing together, which these days is the hardest thing to find, it's rare that you're finding two people choosing each other, because that's actually all it takes. A little bit of compatibility, a little bit of, you know, electricity. And electricity is totally cultivatable, if that's a word. You can make that shit happen. It's called polarity. Electricity, compatibility, you know, compatibility, you just have to like not be total fucking opposites, but like, are you going to be perfectly compatible? No, I don't believe so. If you got someone who is, fan-fucking-tastic. You won the lottery. Little bit of electricity, a little bit of compatibility, a lot of choosing, a lot of commitment, a lot of willingness, a lot of devotion. That to me is the formula. And ain't no one paying attention. And I'm like, hello, guys. So that's why I'm telling you on this podcast. I need to write down this formula myself, because literally just came up with it now. I mean, it's been in my body, you know, I've been sort of feeling this, but I never like wrote it down as like an equation. Maybe that's a graphic that'll go viral on Instagram. So the crisis of commitment, the formula of a truly successful romantic partnership. Now it gets a little bit different when it's like your business or your purpose, because I guess you can argue that it chooses you, but it's, you know, it's not like a human who's like, I choose you, I claim you. It's more like a hunch from God, like, hey, this is the work I'm supposed to be doing in the world, and it chooses me and I choose it back. Because you can have hunches, you can have nudges, you can have all sorts of signs from the universe, and you can be like, nope, not doing that. That's your choice. Or you can go, you know what? Life keeps showing me that I'm supposed to work with incarcerated people doing dance. What's that about? And then maybe I'll choose that. Let me try that and see what that's like. Even though nothing in your right mind ever thought that's what you would end up doing in life. Never in a million years, if you would have told me I would be coaching and doing embodiment and intimacy and all sorts of shamany, priestessy things, medicine woman things, I'd be like, yeah. Grew up in a totally agnostic household. There was zero, and I mean negative, amount of spirituality in my household. We were in survival, is where we were. There was no spirituality. So there is a way in which I guess you get chosen by your work and you get to choose it back, but it's a little more esoteric, right? It's not so clear cut. And so I want to leave you with this today. Just a few questions to sit and ask yourself. What do I want to devote myself to in this season, in this cycle, in this lifetime? Where am I not showing up and choosing? Where am I not committing? Where am I not devoting? And also take a really hard look at your own dating habits and your own love life habits. If you are in a relationship, have you really gone all in? Do you at least, are you in the exploration with the intention of going all in? This is assuming you want a life partner. If you're in a stage where you're like, I just got divorced, I just want to have fun, like obviously that's not the place you're at. You're in a place of self-discovery. It's a very different priority, a different intention. But I'm talking to people who are dating because they want life partnership, because they want someone in their life to love the shit out of them. That's who I'm talking to. And who are also walking around being like, I can't find my person. Where are they? It's like, well, this is a big part of the crisis. And it doesn't start by us just looking at our love life. It starts by us looking at the ways in which we have been sold and marketed. There's always something better out there. There's always an upgrade to the iPhone. There's always an up level. There's always more you can do. Make more money, buy more things, more. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Whatever happened to just hunkering down and devoting and committing to what is right here in front of us? So, some things to ponder for this week. I love you guys so much. So good to be back. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram at Nadia Munla.